Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It is a Saturday afternoon in the city of Atlanta, and we welcome you to Willie P's in the Building, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com and everywhere you could possibly be via the radio.com app. Willie P here with you on another Saturday, taking you all the way up till 3:30 when we will have Atlanta United Soccer on our airwaves. First of four final matches for the Five Stripes as they get ready for the final stretch run here, 1 point out of a postseason berth. We'll get to plenty of them when we come out later in the show with Jason Longshore. He'll join us at 12:40 to break all that down and preview the match against D.C. A college football slate with a little bit of local intrigue, but no Georgia on the slate. It has a lot of people probably doing their honey-do list today, especially if they are fans of the Dogs. Not a big SEC slate either. Only four games and only one in the noon window, and it's two teams in the noon window that quite honestly have seen better days. Auburn coming off a loss to South Carolina and Ole Miss. I tell you what, a great offense, but woeful on defense after back-to-back losses to Alabama and Arkansas. The Alabama loss, not necessarily a surprise, but the Arkansas one, incredibly galling. And not a bad start for Sam Pittman's squad after, of course, that opening week loss to Georgia. Of course, you have the traditional third Saturday in October matchup on the fourth Saturday in October with the 24th of October, bringing about Alabama and Tennessee for their annual renewal of that cigar-infused rivalry at Neyland Stadium. Of course, later on tonight, it is Kentucky and Missouri, 4 o'clock, homecoming at Como, and then South Carolina LSU Tiger Stadium, the defending champs, 1-2, following a loss last week to South Carolina. Games in the noon slate, of course, Clemson and Syracuse, that's underway. Syracuse, I believe, closed that as a 46.5-point underdog. Yikes. NC State, North Carolina, Nebraska, Ohio State, Kansas, K-State, and also an intriguing matchup of local import, Georgia Southern at number 25, Coastal Carolina, inside the Fun Belt in Conway. We'll keep you updated on that game as it goes along. Big 12 matchup at 3:30, a ranked-on-ranked matchup, Iowa State and Oklahoma State. Also, with the Big Ten back today, we talked about Nebraska and Ohio State, Michigan, Minnesota, also Indiana hosting number 8, Penn State. A late game tonight, Miami, Virginia as well, and a ranked-on-ranked matchup inside the American Athletic Conference. Number 9, Cincinnati, number 16, SMU. Someone asking me if Cincinnati runs the table, will they make the college football playoff? I think it remains to be seen, and it depends on what the other resumes look like. I think that you can make an argument over the course of this season that the eye test is going to be paramount when it comes to which teams get in the playoff and which teams don't. I do feel like you are running the risk of alienating a lot of the teams outside of the Power Five if you don't include a team like a Cincinnati, but I also feel like there will be some enmity from teams inside the Big Ten or the Big 12 if they are somehow once again left out of the party. The Big Ten, of course, only playing 8 games. The Big 12 has not seen a real team step up to the plate, pardon the pun of the cross-sport correlation, but that's just kind of the way that this weird COVID-infused season goes. But we'll digest into all of that coming up throughout the rest of the show. We'll give you the full lineup of the college football slate when we get you into what's happening. Also, some stuff in the NBA to update you on, and a very intriguing NFL signing has people who are inside the NFC South, including the Falcons, saying, is everybody wanting to go play for the damn Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Falcons this week have Detroit, and as we sat a week ago last, breaking down the game against the Vikings, I'll sit here and tell you I didn't expect the type of performance that we saw against the Vikings. I thought they'd win, even though I didn't pick them to win, because I didn't feel like in good conscience they could win until I actually saw it happen on paper and on the field. But I did feel like, similar to what happened with Houston, you were going to see the interim bump. It's what I termed it, the interim bump, basically a little bump in the week leading up to the start of a new regime that usually gives teams a little bit of a pep in their step and makes them play a little bit above their skis. Now, let's not get too carried away. You beat a bad football team. I feel like that's one thing that, and again, I don't want to ignore it or even shed a huge darn spotlight on it. And I realize that we've lost to bad football teams during this season, but that was a bad football team you beat on Sunday in Minnesota. Minnesota is packing it up and packing it in. They don't want to play anymore. They're done. They traded Yannick Ngakoue, who was one of their big offseason acquisitions. They're done with him before we even reach the halfway point of the season, because they basically got the two picks back that they gave up for him to Jacksonville and said, you know what, we're done. We sent him to Baltimore. We're packing it in. We didn't expect to be 1-5. We're going to reset. We're going to try and play for a quarterback or something else in the draft. And I understand that. That's fine. I'm not saying that that's something that completely impugns them and takes them out of the season, but that's the situation that they're in. That's the team that you beat, okay? Let's get that straight. And the team coming in here this week, not that much better. That NFC North, outside of the Packers, is trash. And I realize we lost to a team in that division, in the Bears, that has a record right now of 5-1. I look at that team like I've said the entire season. I say it's a paper tiger. It doesn't mean anything. Their record does not reflect how good they are. And that's fine. I'm fine with being out on this island with other people who actually watch football and say, you know what, that team really isn't that good. They've beaten nobody other than Tampa Bay. And they beat Tampa Bay on a short week in their building. So, be that as it may, the Falcons themselves can get a little bit healthy here in this stretch of play. And we always thought they could. Like, even with that first four, which was so grueling, even though it contained winnable games, like the Bears, and now we're seeing the Cowboys play in a division that is going to be, at least at the end of the year, possibly the worst division among cumulative record inside the entire history of the National Football League by winning percentage. They play in that division. And oh, by the way, you were in the football game with them and the dreadful Bears. After that, though, you knew that the schedule was going to get lighter. Carolina, which I think you have more talent than, you didn't play better than them in that game. Of course, we talked about Chicago already. We also talked about the situation that happened last week with Minnesota. You beat a bad football team. You've lost to bad football teams. You play another one this week. I think you can win. I think you should win. I think the task is a little bit tougher this week because you have a better quarterback coming in here in Matthew Stafford, who's actually never played a pro game in Atlanta, interestingly enough. In the four previous matchups between Matt Ryan and Matthew Stafford, three of them took place in Detroit. One of them took place as Atlanta with the home team, but that was when they played in London, and Matt Prater hit the game-winning field goal at Wembley Stadium to win it at the buzzer 22-21. But the biggest question that I have on Falcons fans' minds, and I want to hear this from you at 404-741-0929, because all the talk this week is, okay, if the team looks like this for the balance of the season, what type of decision do Arthur Blank and Rich McKay make when it comes to filling the next head coaching vacancy? There's going to be a lot of desire from people if they go 10-1 and make the playoffs to say, hey, this was the edict from Arthur Blank, playoffs or bust. But I feel like there's an equally vocal amount of people like me who say, absolutely not. You vowed to this fan base to make a change. Raheem Morris does not represent a change. Raheem Morris represents a holdover from a organization that has been built on dissatisfaction. And I think Raheem Morris can be a good coach. I think he is a good coach. And I think he can lead a team, I don't want to say to the promised land, but he can lead a team to prosperity. The problem is, this fan base, I believe, from people who I've talked to, is not going to accept something that resembles the same. You need to go out and you need to hit the hard reset. You need to take the PS3 controller, you need to unplug it from the outlet, and you need to restart that computer. Because in my mind, anything other than a hard reset, number one, not going to get Falcons fans back in the building when you have them next year. And number two, is not going to ratchet up any type of actual excitement from people about the future of the Falcons. And also, it probably signals the fact that you're not doing anything at the quarterback and wide receiver positions to get rid of those contracts with Matt Ryan and Julio Jones. And let me be clear. My whole beef with keeping Matt and Julio has nothing to do with their ability, even though I think that Julio's numbers, while very, very nice and sparkling, I feel like there's some fraudulence in them. And I'll explain that when we get to the Falcons Saturday walkthrough coming up at 2 o'clock. But I do feel like a lot of those numbers are riddled in the same kind of situation that Matt Ryan's are. A lot of them happen in times where they don't matter. Julio had an amazing game last week. He looked like the $30 million man. He looked like the guy who you actually paid that money to. But for a large part over the last couple of seasons, he's looked somewhat ordinary, especially when you needed him. There's certain games where he gets targeted and doesn't even make anything more than two or three catches. And again, a lot of that, you give credit to defenses, but at the same time, you wonder about him and you wonder about the quarterback. I feel like it's totally tied together. I'm not blaming one without the other. It's a symbiotic relationship. Dirk Koetter falls in that line too. Because I still think, even though, again, last week you saw some innovation, there was still some opportunities that made you scratch your head and say, huh? Why are we doing that? Bailed them out. But nonetheless, it should be an interesting game tomorrow. I'll be there. So I'm putting my money where my mouth is. Going to the game. Want to see what it looks like from the social distancing standpoint. And want to see what this team looks like at the Benz on Sunday. 404-741-0929 is the phone number. We'll take some calls. We'll also take some texts on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, 404-741-0929. On Twitter, at Willie P Style, that's IEP Style. What's happening coming your way next, including a signing inside our division that has me saying, does everybody want to go to Tampa Bay? Willie P is in a building. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com. Willie P is in a building on a Saturday afternoon. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 404-741-0929 on the phones and the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Ron, who is watching and listening and also has us on the radio.com app. Use Rewind, by the way, to rewind to any segment you might have missed. If you missed my opening diatribe on the Falcons and college football, you can do that as well. Also, you can go on demand to listen to anything that you might have missed throughout the week. Dukes and Bell's weekly conversation with Charles Barkley or Raheem Morris, conversations from the morning show or the midday show. I actually had a pair of conversations when filling in for Randy with Andy Bunker, with Jarvis Davis and Dave Archer, which I will replay portions of for you. We'll hear some of their answers about the Falcons' chances this weekend against Detroit. Ron texting on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line saying, watching Justin Fields play quarterback makes me wonder, what was Kirby thinking, or was he on something when it comes to the way he's playing with Ohio State? The Bunk guys, as you heard Joe Patrick mention, trading opening possession touchdowns with the Nebraska Cornhuskers. Master Teague from 1 yard out punches it in after a 5-minute and 5-second 75-yard drive for the Buckeyes. 7-7 is the score there at the shoe. That Master Teague, man, he's got some marbles in his britches. I love that. He's got a lot of motor. He's only 5'11", but he's 225. He, of course, split time last year with the NFL-bound J.K. Dobbins, but he's now the man at running back for Ohio State, and he looked pretty impressive on that opening drive. Clemson has taken a 7-0 lead on Syracuse, and oh, by the way, They're on the doorstep for more. They got a 4th-and-4 at the +7. We'll see if Dabo Swinney elects to go for it in a game where his team is favored by almost 7 touchdowns. North Carolina beating NC State in the Battle of Tobacco Road there, 7-0 Tar Heels. Also scoreless between Auburn and Ole Miss in the opening quarter in Oxford. Other score inside the ACC, it is Florida State and Louisville tied at 7. That's a look at the college football scoreboard. We'll give you a look at what else is happening on this Saturday with the before mentioned what's happening.
Peter,
what's
happening?
As we open the show with the Atlanta Falcons take on the Detroit Lions, it highlights a Week 7 slate that's probably a good one that at least gives you an opportunity, like me, to maybe even go to the Falcon game. Another game that has limited fan attendance at the Benz this weekend. Not a real inspiring early slate. There is Panthers and Saints to keep an eye on. Remember, it's a short week for Atlanta. They have Carolina on Thursday at Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte. So a lot of stuff for them to take on here in these next 4 or 5 days. Steelers and Titans. That's a matchup of unbeatens, if you didn't remember that. Buccaneers, Raiders. The entire Las Vegas starting offensive line is on the COVID-19 reserve list. John Gruden says that he's confident that some of those guys will be back before Sunday, but you could be seeing Derek Carr playing in front of a makeshift offensive line against Tampa Bay. Of course, that game was supposed to be the Sunday night football game, but because of the COVID concerns, possibility of that game maybe being moved, they moved it to a 4:05 kick instead, and they moved Seahawks-Cardinals to Sunday night. So you'll see the battle of Russell Wilson and Kyler Murray on national TV. You'll also hear it tomorrow night here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game with the National Football League primetime coverage. 49ers-Patriots also. Jimmy G versus Cam Newton. Interesting and intriguing matchup there with Shanahan going up against Belichick as well. Of course, the Falcons take on the Lions at home. Win last week against Minnesota. Here's Matt Ryan talking about the type of environment Raheem Morris has created for the Falcons. He says it's uncomfortable, but that's a good thing.
I think in our conversations, he's continued to push, you know, me to, you know, go out there and do things the way that I do them. And, you know, a lot of what I believe in, too, is the same, is trying to stress to our guys that, you know, we've got to go over things, you know, 10 times more in practice and in walkthroughs and you know, in meetings, you know, so that we've kind of hammered out every scenario we can think of. You know, so that it's second nature when we get into a game. We have to make an audible like we did on the play that you mentioned. Everybody's comfortable. They know what we're going to do. And then you hammer home that there's going to be a few things that we're not, that are unscouted or might be a little bit different. Keep your cool. If they get us, they get us. Move on. And so that's kind of the approach I always take. But, you know, I'm right behind Raheem.
That is the quarterback of the Falcons, Matt Ryan. We'll get our coverage underway at 9 o'clock tomorrow. I'll join Hugh Douglas for the Wait For It tailgate show. Chris Goforth, Harry Douglas have the countdown to kickoff beginning at 11. Wes Durham, Dave Archer from the Benz at 1 o'clock on Sunday. Mentioned a big signing in the NFC South, and that is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have signed Antonio Brown, the much-embattled wide receiver. Finds a home once again with Tom Brady. Of course, the two were together with the New England Patriots before Brown's latest off-the-field incidents and disruptions took him out of the league, took him off the field with a suspension, but those suspensions will go by the wayside by the time November hits, and he will sign with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on a deal that is 1 year, slightly above the league minimum. Also includes roster bonuses, individual incentives, and also team incentives. If the team does well, he'll get paid. I don't like the individual incentive part of it because it has the recipe for a possible disaster. Because, as we know, Antonio Brown loves to demand the football. And there's only one ball in that Tampa Bay offense. And there's a lot of guys who are going to demand it between Evans and Gronkowski. Even the guys in the backfield. Tom Brady has a good problem to have if you're a quarterback, but it could turn toxic in a hurry, as it has for Antonio Brown. It's funny also that if you asked people 24 hours ago, the possible destination for Antonio Brown might have been the Seahawks. Another offense that doesn't really need that much help, but also a shake-your-head type of decision for an organization that's usually known for doing things, again, the right way, not going all in on a guy that has questionable past. I feel like Tampa Bay is a little bit more dicey when it comes to their decision-making. They really badly want to end the NFL's longest postseason drought this season. Again, Tampa Bay and the Las Vegas Raiders this weekend. When it comes to Major League Baseball, we have the World Series going on right now. Dodgers winning last night to take a 2-1 series lead. Game 4 tonight. Rob Manfred spoke with Dan Patrick, and one of the biggest questions on the minds of Braves fans, what will the rules look like for 2021? That might impact the Braves' pursuit of Marcell Ozuna. Manfred telling Dan Patrick the DH might go back to being AL only this year.
I think in all likelihood, we will return. I mean, I think all of the COVID-related rule changes, right? And in that bucket, it's the extra inning rule, the 7-inning doubleheaders, the DH in the National League. Those rules, we will return to the status quo absent an agreement with the Players Association.
Again, it's something that's still pending. The Players Association and the owners are expected to meet at some point virtually throughout the offseason, possibly on those things, and also possibly getting a head start on the renewal of the CBA, which ends around this time next year after the 2021 season. But a lot of the speculation is might be too rich for the Braves' blood if they can't see Ozuna as somebody who can be an on-the-field help when it comes to actually playing the field. He profiles more as a DH, and that's just the way it looks for him. And, of course, the money is the big concern with him as well. Again, Game 4 of the World Series tonight and the bubble in Arlington. Georgia idle this weekend on this college football Saturday before getting ready to face Kentucky next week and the cocktail party the following week after. Their bye usually comes before the game against Florida, but because of COVID concerns with the Gators, they had to rearrange the SEC schedule, so Georgia's bye instead comes this week. And Kirby Smart says they will use this week to try and get some guys lower on the depth chart more experience, including quarterback JT Daniels.
Yeah, we look at the off weeks as an opportunity to get everybody better, so it'll be no different at any position in terms of the reps. This week, we'll get to get a lot of guys reps. JT will get reps, DeJuan will get reps, Stetson can continue to get reps. I mean, we try to develop our roster.
There's a little bit of Kirby Smart that resides inside of him that reminds me of Brian Snitker, and not in a good way. I'll explain later on in the show, because it has to do with the way that he's handling the quarterback position right now for the Georgia Bulldogs. I think JT Daniels gives you your best chance to win, but I also can't see what JT Daniels looks like on a daily basis. But I feel like JT, when healthy, gives Georgia the best opportunity to get back to a rematch with Bama and also possibly play for an SEC title and therefore a conference title, or excuse me, a national title, I should say, in addition to that. We'll keep you updated on all the other games going on across college football. We mentioned Nebraska and Ohio State still tied 7-7. Clemson still leading on Syracuse. That is a game that's going on right now near the end of the first quarter. Clemson did kick a field goal, by the way. It is 10-0 there. Big Ten football gets started today. Their commissioner, Kevin Warren, cautiously optimistic about the way this season is going to play itself out over the next 8 weeks without a bye.
We're excited about having Big Ten football back, but we have to realize that we are still in a pandemic. And so we're doing everything we possibly can to make sure that we keep our student athletes healthy and safe. And I think it was about 72 days ago on August 11th when we postponed the season. And I'm confident now that we have created an environment here to provide our student athletes a healthy and safe environment to hopefully have a great football season.
That audio courtesy of ESPN. Of course, as we see that, Ohio State gets a touchdown pass from Justin Fields of great length and extravagant long range. They lead 14-7 over Nebraska, but it is a gamble, and one of the things that is paramount of the Big Ten's plan, games that are not completed will go down as no contest. They will not be forfeits, so it'll be a situation where you might have a team playing less than the 8 games, which certainly puts a damper on their chances to be part of the college football playoff. Atlanta United taking on DC United, rematch of a game that took place earlier this year that Atlanta won inside the nation's capital. Brand new coach as well for DC, Jaime Moreno. He's somebody who was a big part of their championship years. Stephen Glass says, though, doesn't really matter who they face, Saturday is a must win no matter what.
It certainly feels that way. We're obviously, we know what's at stake at the weekend. We know the position in the table, and we know there's 12 points left. So we're doing everything we can to get every one of them, and it starts on Saturday.
Atlanta United 1 point behind the playoff line right now. They sit in 11th place, again, with four matches remaining, including today at 4 o'clock at the Benz. It'll be the first time this year that they have fans at home, or at least since the pandemic, since they've had fans. That game and one more down the stretch, two home, two road. The two home games will have fans at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. We're taking you right up to that coverage right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game at 3:30. Man who will be on that coverage with the analysis alongside Mike Conti is Jason Longshore. He joins me for a preview of Atlanta and D.C. coming up next. Willie P. is in the building on a Saturday afternoon. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and online radio.com. College Football Saturday here on College Football's eighth week of play, I should say. Through one quarter at Chapel Hill, it's North Carolina leading NC State 7-0. Kansas State a 7-0 lead on Kansas. Ohio State a 14-7 lead on Nebraska. Clemson all over Syracuse 17-0. In one game again of local interest, Georgia Southern has just put it in the end zone in Conway, South Carolina. That game is tied at 7 between the Chanticleers and Georgia Southern. That game, again, part of the Sun Belt. Coastal Carolina, who's had a pretty darn good record, couple of games against Power 5 competition that they've won 4-0 to this point of the season. Georgia Southern sitting at 3-1. Not a bad season also to start for Shai Wirtz and crew. We'll keep an eye on that one, again, taking place down adjacent to Myrtle Beach. They don't like to use Myrtle Beach to recruit there for some odd reason. Never really understood that. Atlanta United back on the pitch today at Mercedes-Benz Stadium for the first time this season since the pandemic. They will have fans inside the building, and also inside the building will be Jason Longshore. We'll have the call alongside Mike Conti here on your home of the Five Stripes, Atlanta United. What's going on, J-Lo? How are you, pal?
Doing well. How about you?
I'm well. So last time we saw D.C., a bit of a crazy match, 4-0 win for Atlanta. You had D.C.'s Ben Olsen, who made a fireable offense. And funny, he actually was fired subsequently after that game by putting somebody in the game that wasn't on the team sheet. A quirky match for a team in D.C. United that spiraled out of control and probably hit rock bottom.
Yeah, they've changed a little bit since. It's not just the manager on the touchline. Chad Ashton's the interim manager there. He'd been with Ben Olsen for a number of years, so nothing dramatically has changed in that regard. But, look, Ben Olsen's a club legend there. You know, he had been involved in 22 of DC United's 25 seasons as a club, as a player or a manager. So The players had to feel something when they see their legendary manager dismissed because of their poor play in a lot of ways. So you've seen a response. This team has picked things up a bit. They've also changed the way that they play a little bit. They're playing in more of a 4-4-2 with two up top. Atlanta United hasn't seen a team play two up top in a while, and it's going to change how they defend a little bit. The defensive midfield will have a little more responsibility to deal with DC throwing two up top at you and trying to get up and press a little bit when they can.
Not having a midweek match, Jason, I think helps this squad just because of the fact that you've had such a stacked amount of matches in a short amount of time. And I do feel also that you got some guys back last week against Toronto. They might not have been 90 minutes fit, but it seems like now with a full week of the training and or rest, you could see as full of a five-stripe squad as we've seen in quite a while this weekend.
Yeah, it feels like you're about as close to full strength as you could possibly be at this point in the year. There's still questions about Franco Escobar we haven't seen since the Red Bulls match. He's been battling an injury. Don't know if he's going to be able to play. It didn't sound promising when Stephen Glass spoke to the media late in the week. So, you know, with the game on Wednesday, with the game next weekend, you do have to look ahead a little bit, and you don't want to push somebody too far if they're not feeling able to give you a good performance today. But you did see Marcelino Moreno for the second 45. We saw Ezequiel Barco for the second 45 last weekend. We saw Jürgen Damm start that and get into the second half. Those guys would have to be expected to be part of the group today. The question will be up top. You know, is it Kubo Torres up top, who has put himself in good positions but hasn't been able to find the back of the net yet? Is it Adam John? Is it John Gallagher? All very different kinds of forwards. Whoever can mesh the best with Barco, with Dom, with Moreno will probably get the nod.
Talking with Jason Longshore, Atlanta United soccer analyst, Atlanta United and DC United, 4 o'clock or 4:08, if you were talking about the official start time today at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Match last week against Toronto, you mentioned the fact that you got those guys back at the 45-minute mark, Moreno and Barco. Team took on a different tinge and actually a lot more of that aggressive nature we've come to see from Atlanta United. It basically was everything except the result for the Five Stripes. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think they played really well. I think the quality of play was good. The results in the final third were not where you want them to be. This team has to create more chances, and you would expect with more time with Dom, with Barco, but also with Lennon and Bello overlapping and getting forward and combining with those two, with Moreno in the midfield. And again, it goes back to the number nine. You can have all of that great lead-up play, but you've got to have the final pass delivered from one of these players that we're mentioning, and you've got to have somebody get on the end of it and find the back of the net. All of the play leading up to the attacking goal was good. The defensive work was good, too, until the very end, where they get one big chance, and Toronto makes you pay for not creating enough chances on the other end.
Marcelino Moreno is somebody who, again, we've seen a small sample size of, and I know that there were some questions about what he might bring to the table as the latest designated player sign. What has he shown you?
About what I expected, to be honest. I had been familiar with his game at Lanús, and when the signing went down, went back and watched some of the matches from Argentina to get a little bit of the off-the-ball perspective on him. I think when players get signed, you immediately go to the highlight reel and you see all the big plays, but for a player like Marcelino Moreno, I think you have to go a little deeper and look at what he does with his movement off the ball, what he does in getting you out of trouble under pressure, the defensive work that he puts in, his ability in 1v1s. You want to see him in those positions. He's shown you a good glimpse of that so far. You want to see more the more comfortable he gets with the squad.
Of course, we see our old friends, Orlando City SC on Wednesday, and then Cincinnati and Columbus down the stretch. Those are our final four matches, 1 point below the playoff line, 4 matches to play. How likely do you think it is that we sneak our way into the postseason?
I think it's possible. I think a lot of people will be watching Chicago and the New York Red Bulls tonight. Chicago is the team that has a game in hand on Atlanta, but they have the toughest schedule on the lead-in. Atlanta gets the two weakest teams in the Eastern Conference, and both at home. Those are matches that Atlanta United has to win, starting with D.C. tonight, Cincinnati next weekend. Those are games you're going to be favored. Those are games you have to take care of your business in. Chicago doesn't have any games like that. They have the Red Bulls at home. They have New York City at home. They have to go to Nashville. They have some tough matches coming up. They have to go to Philadelphia as well. And then they have a midweek before decision day, a makeup game where they have to go to Minnesota. Chicago is the team you have to really pay a lot of attention to, but they don't have it easy. They're a good squad, and we saw that firsthand when they beat Atlanta 2-0. I wonder if the schedule is going to catch up to them. Atlanta just has to put the pressure on with a win this afternoon, because you know the Fire are going to be watching that tonight, and that could add a little bit of extra pressure as they host the Red Bulls this evening.
If I could give you a pair of three-point outfits against D.C. and Cincinnati and a pair of draws in the road matches, I'm sure you'd feel pretty good about that come decision day.
No question you're in if you get that. I think 6 points could be enough. I don't think you want to lean on 6 points only being enough. You're probably going to need a result against Orlando or Columbus on the road to feel secure about it. If you get results in all of these matches with 2 wins and 2 draws, you're going to be very happy about getting into the postseason.
Atlanta United soccer analyst Jason Longshore joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. A lot of people wondering how the Moreno signing fits to the future of the ball club, not just with the signing of a brand-new manager that comes during the offseason, we assume, but also the return of Joseph Martinez. Can you see the shape that this team is taking, or even what moves could be on the horizon once the transfer window opens back up when the season ends?
Yeah, I think you are seeing the shape. And you think about the way that we've seen this team play lately in a literal shape in the formation in a 4-3-3. You add number 7, Joseph Martinez, up top in that, and you add to what we saw last week, especially to start the second half, with Dom, with Moreno, with Barco. That's a very dangerous attack. I think there's some places you can upgrade. You're going to have to make a decision at the defensive midfield spot, because we've seen Jeff Larentowicz there. We've seen Mo Adams there. We've seen Eric Remedy there. That's been a position that's had some issues this season, and it hasn't had consistency. That's one you look at. You look at the back line with Franco Escobar moving inside and playing as a center back more often lately and playing very, very well. Does that change the way you look at your defense with Escobar, with Lennon at right back, feeling like that's the best way to get the most out of this team? That's another question that will affect how this team takes shape for next year. But the biggest one will be the managerial hire. And that's something that everything is progressing according to the front office in the way that they want. I don't think they wanted it to be a distraction to a team trying to get into the postseason. But you're getting close to the end now, and I think people are getting a little antsy as to who could that person be, because that's going to be a big deal for what Atlanta United looks like in 21.
Where does Glassy fit into that rotation, if at all?
I think he does. I think he absolutely does. He's done a very good job in a very difficult situation this season with the Pithy Martinez transfer, with all of the injuries he's had to deal with just the abnormalities that every team is dealing with, you know, same-day travel, with no fans in the building, you know, with different protocols and the way you train and the way you interact at the training facility, all kinds of things that are just hard to deal with. They're even harder for someone to deal with in their first time doing it at this level. I think Stephen Glass has done a very good job, and he's got this team in a position to play their best soccer under him in these last four games where it really counts. The performances will probably go a long way, but it sounds like the players have really enjoyed working with Stephen Glass and his staff.
Atlanta United, DC United, 4 o'clock, Mercedes-Benz Stadium. You'll hear the coverage coming up at 3:30 right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game with Mike Conti and Jason Longshore. Jason, thank you so much for the time. Enjoy it.
Looking forward to it. Thanks.
That's Jason Longshore here with us on the WadeFord.com hotline here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Still 14-7 in favor of Ohio State. That game is approaching the second quarter. Actually, it has started the second quarter. Syracuse has scored. Warning, Syracuse has scored. 17-7, Clemson leads the Orange. North Carolina 14, NC State nothing. Still 7-7 between Georgia Southern and Coastal Carolina. We'll keep you updated. Also, Auburn 14-7, they lead Ole Miss in Oxford. NFL Ground and Pound comes your way next. A former Falcon factors into a matchup of unbeatens, and Cam Newton coins a phrase I've never heard before. Willie P is in the building. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.